Greetings. This is H.G. Wells, log set S2, log 12. And today, I find myself among the Wuthering Heights of Yorkshire as I meet these giantesses of fiction, the Bronte sisters. Miss Bronte. You're most kind.
Get that down here, you daffodil mucks. What on earth do you think you were doing, wandering around in the pouring rain?
Well, I did try to explain that my time machine...
Aye, I believe you. You're mad enough and all. Here, take the towel and dry yourself off a mite. Oh, and sup your tea, you'll catch your death otherwise.
Oh, how's that mad southern bugger doing then, eh?
Mr. Wells, this is my younger sister, Emily.
Charmed to meet you, Miss Bronte.
Likewise. Now, don't be daft. Call me Emily. Otherwise, we'll never know who you're gabbing at, will we?
Emily?
Oh, now, Charlie. No need to be narky. She's always been like this, I'm afraid, Mr. Wells. Terrible fusser.
Oh, well, I hadn't... Well, that is to say, I...
Oh, hush that sin, Emily. Now, Mr. Wells... Why don't you go ahead and ask your questions?
I was actually rather hoping to speak to all three of you.
Oh, yeah, Anne. She's tending to Bramwell. She'll be along shortly.
Goodness. It is pouring, isn't it? You call this July?
Like cats and dogs it is. Welcome to Yorkshire. Are you a journalist, Mr. Wells?
I'm actually a novel writer myself. I've long been an admirer of your works, Wuthering Heights in particular.
Lord, really? Not that Emily isn't a wonderful writer, but...
Thank you.
Well, it's rather depraved, isn't it? All that violence.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you think of Wuthering Heights, Charlotte. You don't have to remind me what you said when you've told
that... I only think that you could perhaps make it a little more... Ladylike?
Lady.
I also thought Jane Eyre was a wonderful piece of fiction.
Oh, doesn't everybody?
Hey, up. I've been and put Bramwell to bed. He's been coughing, poor love. And I went and got his laudanum from the pharmacist today. Who the bloody hell's this, then?
Anne, this is Mr. Wells. He's here to interview us about our work.
It's lovely to meet you.
Oh, are you here to talk about the Tenant of Wildfell Hall?
Yes?
Oh, splendid! It only went to the press a few months ago, but it already feels as if everyone's forgotten about it.
How could they, when you keep harking on about it, eh?
Well then, Anne, Mr. Wells has come to speak to all of us. Isn't that right, Mr. Wells?
It is, indeed. I feel that all three of you have made such a significant impact on the literary world. It wouldn't be fair simply to interview only one of you. Besides... Jane would never forgive me.
Jane?
My beautiful wife. She's quite the fan.
Oh, wonderful. Does she like to read?
She's insatiable. In fact, occasionally, she likes to write her own little stories. Fancies, she sometimes calls them. Although, I'm not sure if she'll ever publish them. She's really rather shy about her writings.
Emily was like that once upon a time. I found her poetry in a drawer one day and you would not believe.
You know she... I was incredibly angry that she read it. My own private writings. Couldn't even speak to her. I'm glad we ended up sending our manuscript up to the publisher, though, I suppose.
Yes, that reminds me. You all use pen names, correct? Male pseudonyms?
We do indeed. I take the name Cora Bell, Emily is Ellis Bell, and Anne is Acton Bell.
Oh, and a bloody long time it took for us to decide on them and all. I mean, you would have thought we were trying to name our firstborn children. I could have been earnest.
How extraordinary. I've noticed that this is quite the trend amongst female authors throughout history. What is it that necessitates this drastic act? for my own part, I'd be loath to publish my work without receiving the credit I thought was due.
Well, pardon me for saying so, Mr. Wells, but it's clear to me that you've never viewed the world from a feminine perspective.
Well, no, I suppose I haven't.
The fact is, I don't think we'd ever be allowed to publish our works under our real names. Think of the scandal! When I think of the way people first reacted when I published The Tenant of Wildfell Hall...
Oh, here we go.
People were shocked that even a man would write of a lady slamming a door in her husband's face. Can you imagine how they might react if they knew a member of the fairer sex had written such a scene?
I must confess, I'd never truly considered it. To have to hide your true identities, to have to pretend to be a man that you're not. Certainly, it must be demoralising.
Well, it's not quite as bad as all that, Mr. Wells. You see, the thing is...
Oh, yes! Tell him about last week, Charlotte. Go on.
Go on.
Oh? What happened last week?
It all started this spring after Emily and Anne had published Wuthering Heights and Agnes Grey. Mm. There was a rumour spread by the publisher, Thomas Courtley Newby, that Currer, Ellis and Acton Bell were all in fact one Mr. Ellis Bell. Mm-hmm. Well, we couldn't possibly stand for that. So Anne and I took the train to prove to my publisher, Smith, Elder and Co., who originally printed Jane Eyre in our first poetry works, that we were in fact three separate women.
Why did only you and Anne go? What about Emily?
Emily refused to come with us.
Look, I didn't see the need to haul myself down to busy stinking London just to prove that I exist. And why? Why I would want to leave the beautiful moors of Yorkshire for any reason, I have no idea.
Yes. Beautiful.
Anyway, we took the train down to London and met with George Smith, my publisher, and held out his letters to us as proof of our identity.
He was shocked. The look on his face when we handed him the letters.
He recovered quite well, though. He introduced us to his mother and then he took us to the opera. It was, well, an experience I won't quickly forget.
Which opera?
Barber of Seville by Rossini. I don't understand a word of it, but it was pretty all the same.
You know, all this talk of pen names reminds me of another female author. I seem to recall that Jane Austen also avoided using her name when she was first published. Is everything quite all right?
We do not talk about that woman in this house, Mr. Wells.
Why on earth not?
It's a long story.
That woman dogs me every step I take. Why can't you write more like Jane Austen, Charlotte? Why can't you write more femininely, Charlotte?
Oh, Mr. George Lewes, the critic, suggested that Charlotte should take a leaf out of Austen's book and be a bit calmer.
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
I went and got that bloody Pride and Prejudice book and I read every page. Lord, it was like reading inside a prison, with walls on every side made out of neatly clipped hedgerows and chains of silk around my wrists. Where was the fire? The passion?
No open country. No fresh air.
No Blue Hill. No Bonnie Beck.
No, let me keep to my own style and she to hers. I don't see why I should clip my thorns just to be the perfect rose bush when wild
when
roses...
When wild roses smell all the sweeter. Yes, Charlotte, we know.
Yes, moving swiftly on, I'm particularly interested in what other areas your works may have been influenced by. For example, I myself am often inspired by the modern scientific writings of my time. Not too long ago, I was inspired by an eminent scientist's claim about radio signals. He suggested that, never mind. What do you find inspires your writing?
Of inspirations, there are many, but if you refer to people, Mr. Wells, there's only one poet who has truly provided me with revelation, and that is Lord Byron.
Oh. Not Lord George Gordon Byron.
The very same. Are you fond of his works?
Something like that.
Emily is a passionate reader of Mr. Byron's poetry.
I am.
I must confess to finding them diverting.
Now that you mention it, I can see the resemblance. Heathcliff truly is an archetypal Byronic hero. The burden of loneliness, his self-imposed exile, life as the eternal outcast, his tragic end.
Did you like the part about the ghost? I mean, at first I thought no one would want out to do it, but since it sold, what was it now?
Yes, the ghosts. I mean, personally, I don't believe in ghosts, as it's unscientific, but I do feel that they added a certain otherworldly atmosphere to the whole work, a supernatural energy to the moors.
Yeah, and what about the scene where Catherine is attacked by the dog? Was it?
Your pardons, but I'm sure Mr. Wells is to hurry back soon, Emily. Best not to keep him off topic.
It's really no problem. When you have a time machine, you can... Never mind. What else has influenced your works?
Well, without a doubt, I can say that my time as a governess has influenced Jane Eyre.
Of course. The opening scene, where a child throws a book at Jane, it seemed particularly realistic to me. It rather reminded me of my own experiences as a teacher.
I actually drew from an incident early in my career, in which an insolent little child, in Lothersdale, threw a Bible at my head. Although my work as a governess was necessary at the time to keep our income stable, it was by no means an enjoyable, nor enviable situation to be in.
I can well understand. Did you all work as governesses at one point or another?
I took a job as a governess for 5 years at one point, up Thorpe Green Way. There aren't many well-paying jobs for women out there, Mr. Wells.
I could never stomach life as a governess. All that travelling, having to spend time with other people. Ugh.
I can imagine life as a governess must not have been easy.
No, indeed. But what influenced Jane Eyre most of all, I think, was our time spent at Cowan Bridge boarding school.
What was so awful about it?
Oh, you know, not much in the way of things. Yeah, only our two eldest sisters catching consumption from that miserable place and dying from it.
Just like Helen in Jane Eyre. No, I'm sorry, Miss Bronte, I didn't think.
No offence intended, Mr. Wells, but you don't exactly strike me as a man who thinks very much.
Now then, Emily, I'm sure I didn't mean any offence.
Mm.
We were very close to Maria and Elizabeth, and their deaths were hard to bear. To this day, I've never been fully able to forgive Cowan Bridge for what happened to our sisters.
Mm. Of course, I completely understand.
Have you any other family, Mr. Wells?
I have two older brothers, as it happens. One of them I hardly see, as he lives abroad in Africa. But the other is rather a scamp. Just the other day, he... What was that?
Has I seen the laudanum bottle anywhere? Look for it on the bedside table. Couldn't find it.
All's well, Mr. Wells. It's not but our brother Bramwell. Come in, pet. One moment. I must have left it in the hallway. Come with me, I'll take you up back up to bed.
'Tis only our brother Bramwell, Mr. Wells. He suffers from consumption. It's common in Haworth Parish.
You don't look so alarmed, Mr. Wells. I doubt you'll be here long enough to catch it.
I never intended to...
Oh, calm the scent, I'm only joking.
Emily often likes to act with less decorum than the situation calls for.
Don't you bloody start.
We have a guest present, in case you'd forgotten. Oh,
he's a time traveller from the future, Charlotte. Who's he going to tell?
I promise you, Miss Bronte, I really don't mind. I've certainly been in stranger situations. On my last trip, I ended up appearing in front of a naked Frenchman and his mistress, who proceeded to lecture me on the Parisian sewer system.
Oh, see, Charlotte? quit your faffing.
I only think that we should...
Did I miss anything?
Miss Bronte, one last question for you all. And after that, I really must leave. In regards to your individual works, would you say that the wild Yorkshire moors in which you all live have influenced your writings?
Well, I for one was very much influenced by the wildness of the moors and all those creatures that run through and under them, the tumultuous heavens that hang above them and the blustering winds that ebb and flow like the tides swiftly.
Well, when I wrote The Tenant of Wildfell Hall, I really felt that, you know...
Can you ever quit yapping about that pigging book?
Mr. Wells is interested in it.
Is it?
It's not exactly an appropriate work to have been written by a lady, is it?
Oh, here we go.
Perhaps if you'd edited it a little before having it reprinted.
Oh, that is rich coming from you.
And that's my cue. It's been absolutely lovely meeting you all. I really must dash. Pleasure to be here.
Oh, be reasonable. You must see my objections here.
Oh, so it's all right for you to keep Jane Eyre the same, but if I like Tennant the way it is, suddenly it's inappropriate and you disapprove.
Oh, come on, don't take it personally, Anne. Charlotte disapproves of everything.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. You wouldn't know good fiction from the arse end of a donkey.
And
what?
With that, I think it's best to leave before things get ugly. My name is H.G. Wells, this has been the Bronte Sisters, and if I regret anything, it's my decision not to interview the three of them separately.
Preachy, pretentious trollop!
This podcast was brought to you by Turpentine Productions. You can find us on Tumblr at Turpentine Productions, Twitter at H.G. Wells Regrets, and Facebook at H.G. Wells Has His Regrets. Or check out our website, www.hgwellshashisregrets.wordpress.com. This episode of H.G. Wells Has His Regrets was written and produced by Francesca Mylord Ford, with assistance from Emily Hancock. Music composed by Emily Hancock and Joe Ashkari, and sound design by John Black. This show was created and executive produced by Emily Hancock. H.G. Wells was voiced by James Carpenter. Charlotte Bronte was voiced by Sasha Alexandra. Emily Bronte was voiced by Sarah Golding. Anne Bronte was voiced by Jasmine Ovenden. Brownwell Bronte was voiced by Christopher Collins. This podcast is fictitious, and all characters within are merely fictional interpretations of the people they're based on, and are not to be taken as serious or accurate portrayals. We'll end the episode with a quote from Charlotte Bronte's Jane Eyre. "I am no bird, and no net ensnares me. I am a free human being with an independent will." Thanks for listening.